You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, why midlife is the most important point in a woman's life. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. We are coming to you live today on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, and I want to welcome those of you who are watching this live stream. And of course, I also want to welcome our wonderful podcast listeners who are listening to the replay of this, and I am so glad that you are here joining me because I'm delighted to talk with this woman that I'm bringing on right now because she and I are a bit aligned, and I think we're going to have a wonderful conversation. So I want to welcome Jennifer Arthurton to Live, Love, Engage.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I am so excited to chat with you because we're going to be talking about midlife women and all sorts of why this is an important time. But first, I want to let our listeners and viewers know just who you are and why I knew you'd be a great guest for the show. So Jennifer is the creator and founder of Old Chicks No Shit, a community and podcast of the same name designed to inspire and support midlife women in chasing their dreams and creating their kick-ass next chapter. And she is also an empowerment coach, of course, podcast host, writer, and speaker. And I definitely encourage you to check out her podcast. I've listened to several episodes and I love it. And I would love to know and have you share with everyone today, our audience, a little bit about what got you here into being able to do the wonderful work that you're doing in the world today. What was that journey like?
Yeah. So my journey actually started in the year leading up to my 50th birthday, where I found myself divorced, unemployed, an empty nester, and bedridden with a stress-related illness. Mm-hmm. That basically, you know, my whole life, everything that who I thought I was taken away from me. And I really had to come to terms with who I thought I was. So if I wasn't a wife, a mother, you know, a corporate executive, I mean, at the time I was a very avid gym goer, who was I? And, you know, when you look at the cultural narrative about what it means to be a 50-year-old woman and, you know, what are the possibilities out there, I didn't really see much that was very inspiring. And so I decided that, you know, after a time of going through a process of figuring out who I was and what I wanted from my life, you know, I decided that this was an opportunity for me to create the life that I wanted.
I love that. And that's so important because otherwise we're living life by default and just having things happen to us. And it's so important. I've been doing a lot of reading lately and also listening to another podcast, Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul.
Yes.
And it's just all these different people are saying the same thing, essentially. And I love how that all works together when the universe sends us these messages. So I want to talk about, well, actually expand a little bit more on your journey. So you decided to, you know, invent yourself. So was that an easy process or was that challenging?
I really wish I could say it was an easy process in five simple steps. And, you know, it really is a process, though, because here's the thing. Most of us, like you mentioned, you know, we go through life kind of unconsciously. We, you know, and I was very much that person. I, you know, did what I thought was expected of me. You know, I checked all the milestones, you know, go to school, get a good job, work your way up the corporate ladder, do all the things. But nowhere along the way did I actually stop in and check in to see, you know, is this making me happy? Is this what I want? And You know, when everything kind of came crumbling down around me, you know, at first, my first instinct was to try and hold on to everything because that's who I was in the world. That was my life. But slowly over time and really like, I was left with no choice but to go inwards. Like all of the things that were available to me that normally kept me busy were just no longer available, like I said. And so I was really kind of forced to go inward and start asking myself some really hard questions, because the one thing that I did know going into this is that if I wanted my life to be different, I had to show up differently in it. Mm-hmm. And so I really started asking myself, like, who am I? Who am I under the title of, you know, corporate executive, wife, mother, like who is the person? And I realized that I didn't fully understand myself because I had never, ever taken the time to really build a relationship with myself. And so that was the first part of the journey, was really, you know, I started a journaling practice, which I encourage all of my clients to do, to really just kind of get to know me. Like, what were my thoughts? What made me happy? Like, what was important to me? What were my values? What did I want from my life? What impact did I want to leave? Right. And going through that process was very, very insightful. And what I realized in retrospect that, you know, I see now why my whole life came crumbling down around me, because a lot of my life was misaligned with the person that I actually am, like the person on the inside. And I had never, ever stopped along the way to make that connection before that time.
Now, did you, when you were, you know, journaling, and I love that you were doing that practice, because that's actually something that I recommend to all my clients and something I do as well. Did you also seek like outside help? Did you, you know, yourself like seek, you know, talk to a coach or somebody like that?
Yeah, I am a firm believer in the fact that we, as much as we would like to, we cannot do everything ourselves. and that sometimes you do need somebody to, you do need support, like the support of either a community or a person. And I absolutely, I signed up with a coach because, again, I mean, I knew I had to show up differently if I wanted my life to look different. And so I needed somebody who was going to, you know, call me on my crap, was going to help me see the things that I couldn't see, could help me, you know, undo patterns of behavior, because we all get kind of stuck in the rote patterns of how we show up and what we do, and to help me see those patterns so that I could then undo them. So I am a firm believer in getting the support of a coach or joining a group or a mastermind, but you do need other people to kind of reflect you back to you so that you can, you can't change what you can't see, right? And so having that resource in a coach or in a group or whatever it is I think critically important to any journey, really, to any transformation journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird that we feel sometimes that we have to do things alone, because you'll read countless numbers of stories about, you know, successful businessmen, certainly successful athletes. The reason they get that way is because they are working with coaches. They are working with someone else to help them, because, yeah, you're right. You can't see the forest for the trees sometimes. You have these blinders on, and even the words you speak. I used to, when I was being coached, someone would say, "Gloria, did you hear what you just said?" And I'd be like, "Wow, no, I didn't." And right. So it's learning. You need that outside perspective to help you learn and to see, because as you mentioned, a lot of it, it's unconscious. It becomes habit, and we're not doing, we're not really being conscious about how do we want to show up in the world.
Yeah.
So, I want to talk later a little bit about, I'm curious to know like how you came up with the name of your podcast, but let's focus a little bit right now on the topic of the day, which is that why you believe midlife is the most important point in a woman's life.
Yeah, you know, and I truly with my whole heart believe this. I didn't before I started this journey of trying to reinvent my whole life at the age of 50. Like the narrative that was going through my head at the beginning was, I'm too old. Like who starts over at 50? Like, aren't I supposed to be, you know, riding off into the retirement sunset on the arm of a handsome man? And that was not my reality. And then, you know, when I started looking around me for like, okay, where are the stories of the midlife women reinventing their lives or reinventing themselves? I didn't see much out there, right? And if you look at mainstream media, you know, whenever you see a woman who's over 40 represented, it's either for bladder leakage protection, meal replacement shakes, waiting for grandkids to visit. And I was like, wow, you know, that seems like such a limiting narrow view of the story. And it's the whole reason why I started the podcast, is because I wanted to share stories of women reinventing their life. Like, the inspiration that I needed, that's what I wanted to share. And I think what happens is, you know, we unconsciously buy into the cultural narrative that, you know, midlife is the beginning of the end, right? That we're just now going to coast into the finish line and, you know, wait for whatever's going to happen at the end. And when I started thinking about it, I started realizing that I'm 50. If I'm going to live to 80 or 85 or, you know, God willing, 90, that's a long time to be coasting into the finish line, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but that is the cultural narrative. And I think for so many of us, like, you know, we see this over and over and over again in media, in advertising and everything, that, you know, that it's like, okay, well, you're not as useful as you used to be. You're not as valuable. You know, you don't fit the ideal of beauty anymore. So we're just going to kind of push you to the side. But the reality is we have a chapter that we are stronger, smarter. We have, you know, all the wisdom, the knowledge, and the life experience to be able to take all of that and to create basically whatever it is that we want to experience in our next chapter. And so, you know, we are, you know, no longer as consumed with the family duties, you know, raising our children. You know, as women, we tend to do everything for everyone else, you know, our families, our kids, our careers, and we put ourselves last on the list. And this is the time of life where, you know, as some of those responsibilities, like, create a little bit more, you know, wane and create a little bit more time for us, we can now start refocusing that energy into ourselves. And this is the time where I call midlife the gateway to authenticity, because if there is something that is not aligned with who you are on the inside, like the true authentic you, it will start to fall away, or it will feel so uncomfortable that you won't be able to take it anymore. And so as we peel back the layers to become our true authentic selves, this is where we find our gifts, like our talents, you know, where we can access those parts of ourselves that we've either hidden because we, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't fit with the roles that we had to live in our lives. Or, you know, like in my case, I met parts of myself that I had never, ever met before. Mm-hmm. And I discovered, you know, things that, you know, light me up, you know, like creative pursuits and things like that, that I had no clue. But in that authenticity is also, and with those gifts, it's also where we find our purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So whether that purpose is a job, a hobby, you know, any kind of a pursuit, whatever that might be, it doesn't necessarily have to pay you money, but if it does, that's fantastic, right? But when we connect with that sense of purpose and that sense of fulfillment, we are so powerful. Right. So for a lot of our lives, you know, the activities that we consume ourselves with are energy depleting. They're out of duty and obligation. Right. And so as we go through them, we're actually kind of depleting our energy sources, and, you know, we can feel tired and burnt out. But when we are doing things that we love, that bring us joy, that are filling our cup, those are actually energy renewing resources. And when we're doing those things, we can have endless amounts of energy. And that energy is actually what keeps us young physically, you know, mentally, emotionally. It's like a constant renewal of who we are. And we just, you know, over time become better and stronger and smarter, and we keep learning and growing. So, you know, the narrative that all of a sudden you reach a certain point and that you no longer have dreams, ambitions, or interest in learning anything is complete ridiculousness, if you ask me.
Yes, I agree.
Right? Because our brains just don't shut off. And so right. The ability to be able to, you know, find those things that fill us up, or, you know, like you said, find a new career, or, you know, a hobby or a pursuit, you know, that feels renewing to you, is so incredibly powerful. And you know, on the podcast, I have the opportunity to talk to women who, of all ages, you know, I interviewed a woman who was 75, starting her second online business and a podcast. I'm like, we can keep doing whatever we want. And there might be, maybe it's even two chapters you have left in your life, or three chapters. Like, you get to decide. And I think this idea that, you know, we're coasting into the finish line, we're just giving our power away in that scenario. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So. And I think it's just something that perhaps has evolved really from the 20th century. You know, I think it was with the advent of Social Security and that feeling that, okay, yeah, you're going to retire at 65 and then coast. But the thing is that in the 30s, I think the life expectancy for people was only maybe like 75 or 80 or something. And so that's one of the reasons why we're in such problems with the Social Security fund now, because people are living way longer than what they put money into. But it's also the point that, yeah, we've got a lot of living to do. The old song from Bye Bye Birdie just came to mind. And we don't have to, as you say, we don't have to coast. Yeah. And in fact, the more we learn, that science is even showing that if we keep our brains active and we're always learning something new, then our brains are plastic. They do regenerate, and it's what does, as you said, it's what's going to keep you young by continuing to learn. It's only when you give up. And I've saw that with, even my in-laws that, you absolutely have control of your life. I mean, my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, she said that she didn't want to live past 70. And I don't know why, but she was like, I don't want to live past 70. Well, you know what? She didn't. She really didn't. Wow. And she sat down on the couch one day and then didn't wake up. And it was amazing. And then even my father-in-law, he's lived for a few years after she died, but he stopped being involved in things that he was in before, and he stopped really engaging with other people. And so, then he only lived a few years after she did. So it's so important for us to, as you say, to take control of our lives. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna skip now because I want to know how you got the name of your podcast. Where did it come from? I love the phrase.
Interestingly enough, the name came from early in my corporate days. So, when I was probably in my mid-20s, maybe, when new people would join our team, there was this joke that was going around. It's like, follow the old chicks because they know what's up. Like, they know the shit, right? So that was the thing. But when I was in the process of reinvention and starting this podcast, the whole concept of old chicks, no shit had a totally different meaning. I mean, it's tongue in cheek, but really what it is to remind us that we are not our bodies, we are not our faces, we are not gray hair, we are not wrinkles or sagging skin. Who we are is what's inside of us. And it's about refocusing our attention from what we are losing, what we perceive we're losing at this time of our life, to refocus on who we are inside, like all of the knowledge and wisdom and experience that we have that is so incredibly valuable. And if we can see ourselves as that, if we cannot give our power away to, the idea that, we're not what we used to be. We're, in fact, we're so much better than we used to be. So it's really a tongue-in-cheek expression just to remind us that we are so much more than we think we are.
I love it. And it's very catchy. And of course, very in the culture, I guess, today, you see books with, swear words and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That works for that too, which I think is good. I was just going to ask you something now and I went away. Okay. It's all right. It'll come back. Yes. Okay. I know what I was going to ask. So if someone listening to this is, say in midlife and they're starting to, start questioning, what would be the first thing that you would recommend that they do to start really looking at how do I want to spend the next, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of my life?
Yeah, pretty much every woman who ends up in my community or in my, in my circle comes to me because they've reached this point where they are like, I don't want to keep doing, or I can't keep doing what I've been doing, and I want something different, but I don't know what that thing is. Like, how do I even figure it out? And the first thing I tell everybody right off the bat is to stop doing what you're doing. And I don't mean stop doing everything and lie on the couch and watch reruns of your favorite show. I mean, just create pauses for a second. because we live very, very busy lives. We are, you know, have endless to-do lists. We're fielding thousands of pieces of information and, you know, trying to remember everything. That we, in the process of that, we've become really disconnected from ourselves. And the answer to all of the questions that we have, it does not, is not out there in the world. It's actually inside us. And so our first job is to start to listen. And the way that we do that is by creating pauses. So whether it's, you know, taking 5 minutes in the morning while you're having the, your coffee and the whole house is asleep and, you know, put down your phone and just sit with yourself for a second and see what comes up, or ask yourself a question. How am I feeling today? How am I feeling physically? How am I feeling mentally and emotionally? Just create little pauses, you know, and start with, I always say, to start with the tiniest little step that you can take. And go from there. So whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minute walk, you know, in nature, for example, where you can just like have a pause in your day and just focus on yourself for a minute, see what comes up. And again, like we mentioned earlier, I encourage everybody to sit with their journal and sometimes just free write, see what comes up. Like, I can't tell you how many times, I know this has been true for me and I see it with my clients, where they just start to write something and then something will come out and they'll be like, I didn't even know that was in there. And so that's the process of just reconnecting with ourselves, because the answers to those questions are in here. We just have to make time to listen.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, because that giving yourself the grace to pause and to be quiet in particular, I think is so important, because so often our brains are just like running. Yeah. And, you know, and there's chattering going on. And so one of the things that I've been working on is to just step back a little bit and just sort of watch that chatter and try to do it. I know it sounds kind of weird to do, but it's just be like, huh, well, isn't that interesting? Why am I thinking those thoughts?
Yeah, and, exactly.
I appreciate that you talk about journaling, because again, that is something that is near and dear to my heart. I'm wondering, is there any way that someone, you know, listening to your advice right now could get that wants to really do that, but could get it wrong?
This is the other thing. There is absolutely no way to get this wrong, right? Like, you know, we think there is a, you know, a right step, a right process or whatever. And then if it doesn't go the way we expect it to go, we often beat ourselves up. We're like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Everybody else can do it. The number one thing that we need to do is just to become aware. And so if you sit in the morning and for 5 minutes and all you're thinking about is your to-do list for that day, that's fine. Just make a note to yourself that says, oh, today I was thinking about my to-do list. Don't make it wrong. Because as soon as we make ourselves wrong, we actually, like, the energy of making ourselves wrong actually exacerbates the situation that we're in. But if we can just become aware with, like, curiosity, right, to say, oh, interesting, I was thinking about that today, and make a note of it and just leave it, right? It's really about making the unconscious conscious, right? So the next day you might sit and you're thinking about, you know, something else. Again, just write it down. And eventually you get to see, as you know, you do this process, that there are themes or ideas that keep popping up. And then you can explore them. But like, as soon as we make ourselves wrong, we shut down the whole process. And then we're back where we started in square one. Mm. Right. So there is no wrong way to do it. Like, even if you literally sit and stare at a blank wall for 5 minutes while sipping your coffee, check, you did it. Mm-hmm. One of the things I encourage all of my clients to do, again, is to take the tiniest possible step in the direction that you want to go. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it doesn't need to be leaps and bounds. You don't go from not meditating to, you know, to doing a 30-minute meditation.
Right.
Like, nothing, no lasting change in life happens like that. It happens in tiny, teeny, tiny little increments. So if all that is available to you at this time is to spend 5 minutes staring at a blank wall, that's it. You've done it.
Yeah.
Right. And what you will find over time is that, you know, maybe that 5 minutes becomes 10 minutes and then your 10 minutes turns into, I think I'm going to write today, or I'm going to go for a walk in nature. Like, whatever it is, you're starting from scratch. And we just do ourselves such a disservice by thinking that we have to do it all, or it's an all or nothing. We have this all or nothing mentality. Mm. Right. And it's about giving ourselves compassion and grace that we're on a journey, step by step by step. And eventually, here's the thing, right?
if anything that you try to do that you, you know, feel like you need to take a massive leap, your brain, like the safety mechanisms in your brain and your subconscious, will fire off a million thousand reasons why you're going to be a failure at the thing that you're trying to do. When you take teeny, teeny, little tiny steps, it's like a little brain hack, because the brain goes, oh, this is okay. This is just a tiny little step, right? We can do this. It's not a problem, right? And so that's how we work our way forward on things. And eventually you look back and go, hey, remember when I used to just stare at the wall? Now I'm doing a 10-minute meditation.
Yeah. Right?
And that feels good. And that encourages you to keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I love the small steps, is that positive reinforcement that you give yourself, because when you can accomplish those little things, that it's so much easier. Yeah. Than trying to, well, as they say, you know, you can't, how do you eat an elephant or whatever, one bite at a time.
Exactly. But, and that's exactly, but we have the all or nothing mentality really just shoots us in the foot, because it's either I'm here or I'm there. But meanwhile, there's about 9,000 steps in between here and there, or more, 9 million. Yeah. Everybody's journey is different.
That's right. Yeah. And that's important to recognize as well, is that not to compare yourself to other people. Cause I know sometimes that, oh, and especially in social media, cause you see so many people saying, oh, our life is so wonderful. And listen, folks, you don't know necessarily. That's just what they're choosing to show you, but you have no idea what's really going on. So, what's a commonly held belief about midlife that you passionately disagree with?
Oh, there are so many.
your top favorite.
My top favorite.
The one you're.
I think the notion that we're too old to do anything. Mm-hmm. Again, by what standard, by what measurement are we too old? Right. And usually that, and what I see this in all of my clients, is too old is actually not the, really the reason. It's the reason we go to, but there's something underneath that, that is keeping us back. Maybe I'm afraid. Maybe I'm, I feel like people will judge me. Maybe I have a story that I'm not good at it. So too old is an easy one, because it's the thing that we are told over and over and over again, you know, in mainstream media about what it means to be in midlife. Like, you're old, you're over, it's done. And the reality is, it's never too old. If you have the will and the desire, if you have a dream or a passion, you can, it doesn't matter what age you are there, whether you're 50 or 70 or 90 or 100, you have the power to make it a reality. And the way that we do that really is, like I said, step by step, and checking our stories, right? Like, what are the stories that we're telling ourselves about what's possible for us, right? Like, when I started this journey, started in saying, you know, I'm too old for this, right? I had to quickly pull myself up and be like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Like, you're only 50, right? But there are other, like, you know, stories and beliefs that we have about ourselves that we've picked up over time, that our parents gave to us, you know, that I'm not smart, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not that enough. And, you know, the mind is a beautiful thing. And the mind that created those stories is also the mind that can uncreate those stories. And age is an excuse. It really is an excuse. And it's a cover up for all the things that lie underneath that.
Oh, goodness. We're nearing the end, but I want to ask you this question, because I love asking my guests this question, because I get some interesting answers. So I'm going to ask you, what are you curious about right now?
Oh, what aren't I curious about right now? You know, one of the things that I am really delving into right now is the power of the subconscious mind. I am endlessly fascinated by how powerful our minds are, how powerful we are. And, you know, the little breaks and limiting factors that become so huge in our conscious mind, that are really like part of our subconscious brain, and that we can reprogram our subconscious brain, right? Like, that there's actually, just like you can reprogram a computer to do a different task, you can reprogram the human brain to act in a different way. And I am so endlessly fascinated by that.
I love it. See, I knew you and I were on the same wavelength. Yeah, when my sister had passed a few years ago, and I brought home some books that she had from her house. And a couple of them were about the brain and how the brain works, and like making a good brain great was one of the titles. And it was just fascinating to me because I just sat down and like read it and was like, wow, I didn't, you know, really realize just how powerful, this organ that we have in our body is, and how also it can lead us astray. And so, you know, a lot of times. So it is, as you say, though, we do get to choose. That's the important thing to remember. We can choose and we can reprogram, and we don't have to keep, you know, paying attention to what either the culture says or what we learned as kids. We can retrain our brain.
We literally can reprogram our brain.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's relatively simple. Like, it's actually not that complicated. I mean, it takes, you know, practice, and it takes consistency. Mm-hmm. It's relatively simple. And when you think about, you know, how complicated our brain is, you're like, wow, that's all it takes. And then you realize how you got to the place that you are, because that's all it takes, right? So somebody said something to you as a child that you've now, you know, put that into the program, and that's what's running underneath everything, and, you know, affecting everything that you do.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can change that program.
Yeah. Just like you can reprogram a computer, we can certainly reprogram our human computer. So,
For sure.
Yeah. This has been excellent. And I know that there's someone out there who's listening and wants to know more about you and how to, you know, what the services and things that you offer. So what's the best place? Where can people learn more about you?
Yeah. So my website, which is oldchicksnoshit.com. And on the website, I have a guide that's 5 steps to get unstuck and create your kick-ass next chapter. So if there's anybody listening who's feeling that, like, I know I want something more, but I'm not sure what it is or how to get there, download that free guide, because it basically takes you through it in 5 simple steps. It's a process, but it is 5 steps. And you can also find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram, the same name. And I also have a free Facebook group for women who are interested in hearing more about how to create their magnificent midlife.
Awesome. What's the name? Is the name of the Facebook group the same?
Or? It's all the same. All the same name everywhere you go.
Consistent branding. I love that.
Yes. Very good.
Well, I'll be sure to have links for that in the show notes. So when this episode goes live up on the podcast platforms, that'll be in a few days. So you'll be able to find it. If you go to liveloveengagepodcast.com, you'll be able to get that information, as well as check out our other episodes. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And I'm so grateful there was a bit of a thunderstorm at the beginning, but it seemed to have eased off because our connection was clear. I heard you perfectly. And I'm so grateful that everyone else got to hear you as well. So thanks for being with us, Jennifer.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I, again, want to thank all of you for watching and for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode today, I hope you'll either share it on your favorite podcast platform or share it with a friend on Facebook or LinkedIn. And I know we did have a few people watching and commenting, and I really appreciate that. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You: How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.